Dollar Boy
for Vox Trot,
the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of... Tonight, Vox Trot travels to Portland, Oregon to talk with workers at a shipyard managed by Carson, the Oregon Shipbuilding Corporation, who are building the newest combat attack transport to float. Again tonight, Warren Hull has as his guest interviewer the lovely Columbia Pictures star, Jinx Falkenberg. So here are your two Vox Poppers. Come in, Portland, Oregon.
This is Warren Hull.
And this is Jinx Falkenberg.
And these are the folks who built more ships and bought more bonds last year than in any other shipbuilding area. Are you going to do it again this year, folks? There's your answer. And in this huge municipal auditorium are several thousand shipyard workers who are also workers in this bond drive. Standing beside me is the new shipyard coverall girl. Oh, you should have seen her in her coveralls and tin hat climbing all over one of those new attack transports the other day.
And boy, was it fun. You know, you make a good-looking welder yourself, Warren.
You tell that to all the boys, Jake. Let's get down to business. So, ladies first, and I see you have one waiting. Okay, Jake?
I certainly have, Warren, and a lovely lady she is. And such an interesting life, too. Folks, here at Kaiser Shipyards, there are three times more women workers than at any other yard. Now, this attractive woman has been here for 2 years and is now working on one of the new attack transports. She's a tall, slim brunette, sparkling brown eyes, and we want you to know her. From Oswego, Oregon, Mrs. Esther Arthur. You know, I understand you're a welder, Mrs. Arthur. Where do you do most of your welding?
Oh, I'm almost anywhere on the boat, but I'm on the afternoon dock.
Yes? Well, what exciting places do you weld?
Oh, I'm almost everywhere, even the top of the mast and down the hole, over the side of the boat.
Yeah. Anywhere. You said the top of the mast. How high is that?
From what? The water or from the top of the boat? What?
From anything.
Well, I think about 90 feet from the top of the, from the water and about 60 feet from the top of the mast.
And you go there all alone?
No, I'm in a few more leads if you
need to. Uh-huh. And you...
With ship fitters and stuff.
And you like that. What if there's a strong wind blowing? How do you feel then?
Oh, that was... Well, I like it.
You really did.
I go a little harder.
Really?
Sure.
You like exciting places, don't you?
Sure.
Where do you live, on a flagpole?
Well, not quite. I wouldn't mind it, though. No, we live in Oswego and build a log house.
You build a log house?
Huh? Sure.
Who? You and your husband?
Yes. 7-room log house.
Gosh, how did you happen to do that?
Oh, that's easy. We've got lots of...
Well, you're very dressy for a woman that lives in a log house in that red fox fur.
Well, I got that myself in Alaska. we had a trap line, and of course, I like to do it. Twice.
You trapped this fox yourself?
Sure, I did.
Will you teach me later?
Oh, well, I sure would love to.
About wolves, too.
Oh, lots of wolves. The shipyard, huh?
Oh, no, in Alaska, I mean.
Oh.
Tell me, was it awfully cold up there?
Oh, it'd be cold sometimes. 60 below. Of course, it's been half 10, but about 40 below. Well.
You really like that cold weather and exciting places, don't you?
I sure do.
How long were you up there?
5 years.
5 years.
Huh?
What did you do about food?
Oh, we went in for a trap line, the plane took us in, and we had them bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
We shot moose, and we had all our own.
You ate moose?
Sure.
Have to try that sometime. Listen, tell me, what about mail? How often did you get mail up there?
Well, we was on a trap line. We only seen pilot about every 9 months. And, of course, he dropped in around Christmas. We got our Christmas mail. It was pretty swell, too.
And every 9 months. I bet it looked pretty good, didn't it?
Sure did.
Just think how those boys feel overseas. I bet they really want it.
When we came out from Anchorage, they were all standing, on the platforms and waving to the trains. Yeah, it was terrible. I felt sorry for them, but I suppose it will be over pretty soon.
And how? So let's keep writing in the meantime.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, Mrs. Arthur. I hope you get back to Alaska real soon. And now Roma Salsa has for you, first, 3 albums of phonograph records by the one and only Andre Castellanet. And so that you may be able to enjoy them far away from civilization, here's a portable record player that you can wind up by hand.
Oh, grand.
and something we know you can use in the wild, a .22 Winchester Special repeater complete with scope and a supply of shells, okay?
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Get going, Jink. I just want to say there's a fellow sitting down here in the audience with a big, broad grin on his face. One of the busiest, youngest production executives in the country, a great son of a great man, Edgar Kaiser, sitting right down here. Edgar, take a bow, will you? Come on. Take a bow. You know, Kaiser builds ships faster and with fewer man hours. And we asked Edgar what the secret was. And he said, it's the people out there in the yard who do it. Well, here's another one of the doers. He's 55. His hair is still, mostly red. He has a service pin with 3 stars on it. From Beaverton, Oregon, material leadman and expediter Earl Parkinson. Earl, tell us what that service pin stands for.
The 2 stars are for my son. Both boys are in the service, and the third one is for my wife.
Well, where is she?
She's in Texas in the Army Air Corps.
And the wife? When did she join?
The wife joined the Army, the WACS, the 7th of May, and just finished her base training in Des Moines, and had just arrived Thursday night in Abilene, Texas.
Well, has she sent you an allotment yet?
I don't think it's going to work that way, Warren. I think I'll have to send her some.
I see. Well, why did you join?
The wife joined the WACS because we have 2 boys in the service and a lot of other boys, and she figured if she could shorten the war some, then her efforts would not be wasted.
Well, she certainly is doing a wonderful thing by telling you. Say, Earl, who does your... By the way, you haven't seen her since you joined, have you?
No, I haven't.
Who does your housework?
Well, yours truly is doing most of it. There's a little dirt in the corners, but I'll leave that for Mom when she gets back.
I bet she left you some directions, though, when she went, huh?
Yes, she says, don't forget to water the plant and defrost the icebox. And I think up to date that I've just about followed her instructions.
Place hasn't gone to rack and ruin.
No,
you must be pretty lonely, though. What do you do in your spare time after the housework's done?
Well, this spring, before Mom left, we planted quite a few roses and flowers, and we have about 100 chickens, and I'm trying to carry on with the place, so we have it the same as when my return is when the family left.
Good. Say, we know Liebman is a sort of a foreman, and an expediter is one to keep material flowing to the production line. Now, just what do you expedite?
Men and women that work under my supervision expedite the valves, fittings, and pipe material for the various systems installed on the boat in the marine installation department.
I see, and that you're working on that new tax transport right now, aren't you?
That's right.
Can you tell us what they're going to be like at all? You know, no specifics.
You might say that this new ship is going to be a honey, folks. You're going to be proud of it when it really starts out there. It's very fast. And I would say that if it gets out on the waters and the enemy attacks it, she's pretty well prepared to take care of herself. We'll give them a good battle.
And, I understand that that'll carry a lot of troops and the landing barges to put them ashore on an enemy shore, too.
It carries quite a crew and is capable of carrying quite a few troops and the crews to take care of the guns.
Well, what do you think about it if you're working on it?
The thought that I hold as I work on this new ship is that it won't be used for the specific purpose of taking troops across. I'm hoping it'll bring the boys back.
Well, Earl, you do have a very special reason for wanting the war to be over, don't you?
That's right. I believe the proudest day of my life is when I can stand at the street here in Portland and my wife will come marching up the street with our boys, and I know they will come back for me.
Thank you very much, Earl. We hope that you won't be a war widow much longer. The Chromo Seltzer has for you, and this will come in handy for breakfast, we hope, a brand new pre-war model electric waffle iron. And for you, for you to send to Private Parkinson in the WAC, a beautiful Bridget model 17-jewel Mido ladies' wristwatch. Isn't that a beauty?
Gee, thanks a million.
For your flock of chickens, a 100-pound bag of Hodgins Brewster Laywell egg mash and a bag of scratch. And
Earl, we have a box top phone call for you. You take the phone right here and see who's waiting to talk to you.
Hello. Hello, Mom. How are you doing? Huh? How's the broadcast? You haven't heard it?
You're too busy, huh, dear?
Well, gee, they're sure giving me a swell time here, but I think it all belongs to you, honey.
Earl, you go on backstage now and talk to her as long as you please. She's way down there in Abilene, Texas, and we happen to know through our G2 that you haven't talked to her since she left. So you go on and have a nice, long,
thanks for
long
the gift,
talk.
Bye.
Folks, to find out for sure what quick, effective relief from the miseries of an ordinary headache really is, you've got to try Bromo-Seltzer. And when you do, when you compare it with whatever you've been using, then you'll know how fast Bromo-Seltzer makes you feel better. Here's why.
Five headaches, three ways.
Yes, sir. There are no two ways about it. A common sick headache may leave you feeling miserable in not just one, but three ways. The aching head pains may be accompanied by upset stomach and jumpy nerves. And for that kind of three-way misery, you need three-way relief, which is exactly what Bromo-Seltzer gives you. For Bromo-Seltzer acts three ways, on head pain, nerves, and stomach.
You can take Bromo-Seltzer while it is still fizzing or after it settles down. Use as directed on the package. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But when it comes to an ordinary sick headache, don't be satisfied with anything. It does less for you than Bromo-Seltzer. Remember, for quick relief from the aching head, to help calm jumpy nerves quickly, to help settle upset stomach, yes, get Bromo-Seltzer from your druggist tonight. Try it once, and you'll never be without it again.
That's good advice, John Lang. Thank you very much, and here's Jink Stoffenberg with another shipyard worker.
Well, our next interviewee is a tall, young shipyard worker. Broad smile and blonde, wavy hair. He's 21 years old, but spent 3 fighting years in the Navy and received a medical discharge this last winter. He's continuing his fight here at home by backing up his buddies who are still out there. Folks, from Duluth, Minnesota, Bob Sanders. Bob, tell me, what were you doing in the Navy? Yes? Well, where were you stationed?
I was stationed around Pisgah and Adak, Alaska.
And what did you take pictures of? Can you
say?
Well,
mostly of bombings that the Japs had given, and we sometimes discovered something that we couldn't see with the naked eye.
Like what?
Well, once in a while, your camera would pick up a pillbox that hadn't been destroyed.
Cameras catch funny things, don't they?
Yes.
Well, Bob, what are you doing out here at the shipyard?
Well, I'm a painter.
Yes, what part of the ship do you paint?
Well, we paint everything from the after-feet tank to the fore-feet tank. That's,
in other words, the whole ship.
Oh, and tell me, the other day you were wearing some coveralls and they were splattered with all kinds of beautiful colors. Do you paint the ship those colors?
Yes, you see, the first coat may be red lead or it may be yellow. Then after that, you put on the gray.
Mm-hmm. And it comes out what?
Well, the ship finally ends up practically all gray.
Is it battleship gray, is that it?
No, it's lighter than the battleship gray.
Well, what's it called?
Haze gray.
Haze gray. Hmm, I'm going to remember that. But your coveralls look so exciting, I thought that the ship was red and green and yellow. You know, Bob, what are you going to do after the war?
After the war, I'm going to be a job airlines, taking pictures.
Yes? Tell me, when you go home at night, you must be awfully tired of all that painting. What do you do for relaxation?
Well, lately I've been painting my house.
Painting the house? Oh, dear. The whole house?
Well, I have to do the whole thing. It's just been exciting.
I'll bet. Don't tell me you're going to paint your car, too. You must really like painting. Well, lots of luck to you, Bob, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to talk with a boy who's already served his country so well in the Navy and is now backing up his buddies at sea by doing an essential job here at Oregon Ship. Now, Bob, Bromo Seltzer has for you some gifts we hope you'll like. First, a light tan sport jacket with dark brown gabardine slacks and a cream-colored sport shirt to complete the outfit. And to replace the paint-spattered pants you've been wearing at work, here are two Spandy Clean all-white painter's coveralls. And wait! To entertain you while you're driving to and from work every day, here's a brand new Motorola automobile radio. Can you use it?
Why?
You know, usually shipbuilding isn't a woman's game, much less a grandmother's. But here's one of the many, even gray-haired ladies who swarm all over those new attack transports out at Oregon Shipyard. Mother of 9 and 59. And known as Mom, too, by the way, welder's helper, Mrs. Edith G. Blair. Are you standing even closer to that, Mike?
How do you do, everyone?
Say, what does your job call for you to do as welder's helper?
Well, I'm a glorified errand girl. I pack, lead, and slash, and rod, and do all sorts of things that welders do not want to do that I work.
All the jobs they don't want to do. But you have to go wherever they go?
I go wherever they go, up, down, under, or through.
My, my. Have you ever been scared?
Very.
Yeah. Well, when were you most scared?
Well, the very first day I went to the Oregon, I had to go through a little bit of hazing. They took me up on the scaffold, some 50 feet in the air, and I'm allergic to heights. Then they asked me to jump a yard across to the ship's deck. I looked down and saw all that air, and I turned perfectly blue with fright, but I did jump. And I'm so full of butterflies that I didn't get over it for a week.
You're wonderful. When did you start work on your present attack transport?
Well, last Friday, at just about 30 minutes after it had been launched.
Oh, you mean the one that we saw launch?
Yes, the one you saw launch.
They swung the new keel into place and you went to work.
Correct.
You work on the keel then?
Under the keel, and I have laid the supplies out and my welders follow as we begin with the first strip of keel they've done.
Oh, good. Well, Mom, you women dress like men out there, coveralls and tin hat and so forth. Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
Not with my dumping proportions.
Well, you know, I think you like being a welder's helper, but is there any other job out there that you want to try?
Yes, I'd like to be a counselor.
A counselor? What do you mean?
Well, I don't exactly know what I mean, but I've watched them work, and they do so many things for so many people. That I have been inspired.
The work is on the job.
Oh, it's a great help.
Good. Do you get a thrill out of working on those huge ships?
Yes. Often.
I'll bet you do. Do you think it's done you any good to work out there in a shipyard?
Oh, yes. My own children say I act younger and think younger.
That's wonderful. Mom, you do have a lot of spunk.
Well, I'm a red-headed woman in my youth.
You were a red-headed woman? Mom, you're still a red-headed woman, I'll tell you. We want to thank you for being with us, and we hope you'll be an inspiration to lots of other women, including grandmothers. Bromo Seltzer wants you to have this dinette set of table and four chairs in blue and white. Now, that's going to brighten up your breakfast room. And to brighten up your bedroom, here are two of those luscious, warm, dusty rose, all-wool North Star blankets we got over at Meyer and Frank. And, Mom, we know that you get awfully dirty climbing around those ships, so here's a big bottle of luxurious bath bristles, and to help you do a good job, a long-handled bath brush. Thank you, and good luck to you. Folks, how about doing us a favor? Try Bromo Seltzer. It'll be a favor to us and a bigger one to you. Until you actually try Bromo Seltzer, until you compare it with whatever you've been using, you just can't begin to appreciate how quickly, how effectively it relieves the miseries of an ordinary headache. Now, to give you an idea of the pleasant surprise you're in for, listen to what Mrs. S.R. Shack of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, writes.
After spending the weekend with friends in the country, I ended up at the station Sunday evening with a terrible headache. My escort took me into the station drugstore, ordered something. Okay, and in a short while, I was feeling much more like my old self again.
And you didn't know what you had taken?
No, but I asked, and the clerk and my friend answered together, Bromo Seltzer. Well, I said, Bromo Seltzer for me from now on. Well, that was 30 years ago, and I've been using it ever since.
There you are, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way you're going to feel about Bromo Seltzer once you try it
and compare it with whatever you've been using. So, friends, don't put up with the suffering of an ordinary headache, and don't be satisfied with anything that does less for you than Bromaseltzer. Try it. See how fast you feel better.
Okay, John, thank you. And okay, drink.
Folks, here's a man who's been with Henry Kaiser since 1931. Right now, he's working on these new attack transports. Not only that, his wife operates a huge overhead crane, and his son, 17, is here also, until he goes in the Marines. What a family. Well, we want you to meet the head of it. From Gresham, Oregon, Roscoe Southard. Roscoe, may I call you Roscoe?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks. That's
all they know me by.
Oh, good. What's your job here at Oregon Ship?
I'm a rigging supervisor on swing shift.
What does that mean, rigging?
Well, the riggers handle all the steel, the raw material that comes in, sets all the machinery, its other assembled sections onto the boat and rig the boat to outfitting to go on to the sea.
Uh-huh. What did you do before you were a rigger?
Well, I've been a rigger ever since I started following construction when I was a kid.
Really? I bet you've had some interesting jobs, huh?
Yes, I've seen quite a few of them. I've worked for Mr. Kaiser there for about the last 13 years at Boulder, Bonneville, and Cooley, and down here in Oregon.
Oh, it must be wonderful. You said your wife's out there now. Is she on the same shift with you?
Yes, she works out there for me swing shift, running a crane. That's one part of the day, 8 hours, that I'm the boss of. Anyway.
You're her boss. What about the rest of the time?
Well, that there we won't talk about.
Do you live close to... No, you live about 20 miles away, don't
That's just 20 miles from the yard out to where we live. Out there, I have a farm out there, 14 acres. I have a couple of cows that I got them on swing shift, too. I milk them at 2:30 in the morning after I get home.
2:30 in the morning? Oh, boy.
And milk them just before I leave for work. The rest of the time, I take care of my 9 acres of corn I have planted out there.
Oh, quite a farmer. But what about your day off? You must be awfully tired. I bet you sleep like mad, don't you?
Well, till 2:30 in the morning, and that alarm will go off to get up and milk those 2 cows again.
Even on your day off?
They don't. They won't take a day off.
Oh, that's wonderful, Roscoe. But I think you better go home and get some sleep.
Well, I have to go on and go to work now. I see my boss is sitting down here now once more. I'm going to be on the job.
You'll have to go. But first, I'm going to tell you to relax in when you get home. This comfortable barrel-type chair upholstered in flowered tapestry. And for your whole family to remember, Sire, here's a 62-piece set of dishes, eggs in gold, and decorated with spring flowers. How about that?
I want to thank you very much.
In case you have any trouble waking up those cars of yours at 2:30 every morning, here's a silvery tone horn that should have them on their feet in no time. Thanks a lot, Roscoe Tucker.
Thank you.
Situated on a sunny green hill overlooking the Oregon Shipyard and the Willamette River is a lovely circular one-story building. Center court is cut by low fences of like pieces of pie, sort of. 8 feet of play yard. The charming interior houses the finest preschool equipment. It's one of the most important of the Kaiser projects, the Child Service Center. There's another one like it at Swan Island, where parents working at the shipyard can meet their young children, from 1.5 to 8 years of age. We want you to meet one of its staff of 60 experts gathered from all over the United States. This one is the unit nutritionist from Fargo, North Dakota, Miss Larissa Sheldon. Sheldon, it's nice to have you with us. I always like to be friends with those who work in the kitchen, you know. How many children have brought to the center?
We have about 800 now between the two centers, grown up.
Oh, I said it must be. And the cost per day to the parents?
The parents pay 75 cents a day for each child, and then 50 cents for each addition.
What sort of food do you buy for?
Well, we buy lots of fish, lots of milk, and butter, and eggs.
Do you have to stay within any sort of food bucket?
No, we try to be careful about it, but they have, I think, everything that they need.
The center's not going for profit, then.
No.
Modifying investment, I say. We know the children come there on all the different ships. When does a graveyard ship style arrive?
They arrive about between 1 and 1:30 in the morning. Their parents bring them. Some of them are ready for bed, and sometimes they're fully dressed, and they're put to bed, and they get there. Then they get up in the morning and have breakfast. Then they plane to her parents' connection around 9. Mm-hmm. That's 9.
What's the schedule for the day shift children?
Well, the day shift children come between 8 and 9. They play outside in the Hazard Beach and Cognitive Royal. In the morning they play, sometimes they paint, sometimes they have music. Then they have lunch.
And they sleep. I know that because I went through the other day, and it was a wonderful sight to see all those little tracks all over the room and children down to sleep on them. Suppose the child shows up to the cold.
Well, we have a special snow unit where we have nurses and the doctor who comes to check with the children. The children are checked every morning by the supervisors and then by the nurse. Mm-hmm.
We have a young man with us who's been listening very intently to all this. He comes to the child service center on a day shift. He's 7 years old and just moved this thing right around here. And he is quite a fellow with several freckles too. Jimmy Green. Jimmy. Jimmy, did you know that Miss Sheldon, the new man of faculty, is in charge of all your things? You did, sir. Well, how would you like to do? Hit me like that. Hit me. Well, that's the best thing in the world you can say like that. Can you put your card in the wall on
that?
I like that. Mm-hmm. You want to use it? What do you like to play on? Oh, you think it's getting down there? You have any focus? You get along with the girls all right? Huh? It's that one, huh? Well, Jimmy, Jimmy, we're glad to see you tomorrow, and we have some good for you, but let's present this problem very quick. What do you think? Mr. Sheldon, we want to meet you and all the fine people working at Hope Castle. What is that enough for you? It's not Douglas Morton. That's a quote I don't know. This quote comes out of my hideout. It's in pale violet. Say, that is a lovely one. And this one is made behind any of them. General alligator sandbag. Well, bird, if you call it that. Now, Jimmy, for you, one of the has a complete cowboy outfit and a real army gun. That's all that the danger is. And a pair of self-driving pulling tracks. And who was a man who must talk to you? The most famous animal trainer in the world, Mr. Kyle Fitting. Hello, Billy. Billy, did you know that I've been in this world of combined circles is now important? I've made arrangements for the home of sight to invite you, Little Park. There you are, folks. Be sure that we can talk to you soon. Set aside the world to world that's facing the country and our own country. We can have you on. That was a great one. Great to know if you're not a fan. Great to have you both back. You will tell us.
She's a grand girl, and is she lucky, and am I jealous?
Oh, Jake, it's been fun, though. Thanks a lot.
Thanks to you, Warren. Give my love to Parks down there in Texas. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody, in Parks and Marie.
Jake Falkenberg, the first year of the courtesy of Columbia Pictures, from the current movie scene, Columbia Technical Music Publisher, starring Rita Hayworth and Gene Chuck.
Be sure to join Pot Spot, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Pot Spot of Warren Howe and his guest star, Phyllis Brooks, visit Hamilton Field, California. And friends, this week and every week, when you visit your druggist, bear in mind that he's working harder than ever to serve you in spite of serious handicaps. And remember...
Five headaches! Three headaches!
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.